They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I am Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We got the intro right, finally.
How about it, huh?
It only took about a month to get that figured out, but we got the intro
right.
All right,
Ryan, good job.
Good job, Ryan.
Thank you back there. Hey, guys, it's what now? October 2nd. Fall is here, and I know Pastor Kyle loves that time of year.
Love it.
You love that crisp weather. We are fully into the NFL season. Major League Baseball playoffs are about to start.
Yes.
Hockey starts this week.
Unreal.
Basketball's right around the corner. Doug, I know you're fired up.
Sixers, trust the process, baby.
If they struggle this year, you're going to be so disappointed.
So is all Philadelphia. Absolutely. There's a lot of hope going into this year.
They're not going to be a 50-win team. You know that,
right?
You
don't think so?
No.
If they stay healthy, you won't give them 50?
No, can they stay healthy?
41? Can we go 50?
45.
We're going to have to, let's wait and evaluate right before, as soon as training camp's over and the preseason's over, we'll know what Joel Embiid's status is. Because
he's not going to play during preseason.
When I was in media day, and Joel's like, all right, let me be honest, I'm not going to play 82
exactly.
games. I don't want to hear that. If you're a fan, you want to hear that? But it's the truth.
It is going to be rough, though, because Eagles are 3-1 coming off of San Diego. And hey, Rye, how the Giants doing?
0-4. Giants are 0-4. A lot of upsets in the NFL yesterday.
A
lot of upsets. His Patriots go on the road. Patriots at home, I mean. Atlanta at home lose. So that's the two defending conference champions lose at home in games that they were big.
And those Cowboys.
That was beautiful.
How about them Cowboys?
That was beautiful.
You guys, huh? So you two probably subscribe to that theory of every Sunday or whatever week it is of a game, the Eagles are your favorite team, and your second favorite team is whoever's playing the Cowboys.
Oh, absolutely.
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 Yeah. When we have a win like that, Rob, it's very gratifying, right?
It's just the Fergazi Cowboy fans that drive me crazy.
I had to send Doug a whole dissertation on the term we versus they. He's like, we. And I said, no, it's they. It's they. I cover the team. I've covered the team for 18 years. When I sat in the 700 level 23 years ago, that was we. Now it's whatever gets me home to my kids faster. It's they. I have zero rooting interest whatsoever.
Hey, my little daughter playing soccer has some new friends. We're making friends with their parents. And Mark Schaefer, one of my new buddies, he told me that last week his wife came in the room. Every time she came into the room, something bad happened. So she ended up staying in the kitchen and watched it. Watch the end of the game from the kitchen, peeking around the
corner. There's nothing wrong with that. I said that is a phenomenal wife right there.
You just gave me an idea for a future show.
Well, I'm sure we got plenty.
Superstitions and Christianity. So start thinking of that one.
I'm surprised
Pastor
we haven't
Kyle.
Done that
don't
one
be,
yet.
Don't be meddling now.
We might do a series.
That might be like a 3-episode thing like we did with the sex truths and lies.
Let's do that after football season. I don't want to screw up anything.
Amen.
All right, fellas.
Talking about a no-hitter when it's happening.
We are now up to episode 25, and our guest tonight, because it is the end of the Philadelphia Phillies baseball season, their ace, Aaron Nola. Aaron just finished up a really good season, a solid year, and he overcame a lot of struggles, and he overcame doubts that surrounded him after an elbow injury shut him down last July. And Aaron was really a big question mark for the Phillies throughout last offseason, going into spring training. Former manager Pete McCannon said, I remember him saying in spring training, every time Aaron goes out there, I'm concerned about his elbow, and hearing the news that, okay, you're one pitch away from needing Tommy John surgery or whatever it is. So the Phillies weren't sure that they could count on him, but he pitched well, and he pitched really well. He bounced back. He had an 8 outings in a row last summer where he was just so bad, and they didn't know, was it the injury, was it just a performance issue? Because he's so early in his career, you start to wonder, well, maybe he's just not that good. And he didn't let that rough period of his life, he didn't let that season last year bother him. He came back, he didn't lose his confidence, and he pitched well. And now he goes into this offseason a complete turnaround from this point last year. Wow. So our theme tonight is going to be, it's just a chapter. It's just a chapter. Last year was just a chapter in Aaron Nola's career. It doesn't tell his whole story. And all of us, Doug, Pastor Kyle, Julia, Bree, Ryan, me, all of us, we go through bad stretches. We go through tough times. We go through rough seasons in our lives. But we can't let one bad chapter in the book of our life story define us. And maybe you're out there and you're listening or you're watching on Facebook or you're going to download the podcast and listen next week or whatever you're going to do. And maybe you lost your job. It's just one chapter. Maybe you're going through a breakup or a bad relationship. It's just one chapter. Maybe you're having financial troubles. You're filing for bankruptcy. You don't know how you're going to pay the next bill. It's just one chapter. Marital issues, whatever it is. Health problem. It's just one chapter. That car accident, it's just one chapter. It doesn't tell your whole life story. So don't let it define you. And you could look in the Bible and see examples of this sprinkled all throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. And I'm going to give you just one. I'm going to look at Joseph's life. And when his brothers sold him into slavery, that was just one chapter. When he goes to prison, it was just one chapter.
Yeah.
That was all. God's plan for Joseph was to turn him into one of the most powerful men in history. And he used every one of those little chapters of his life to build him up, to get him ready for what he was going to do through him. So whatever rough period you're going through in your life, it's just one chapter of your life story. And if you just trust and believe in the Lord, he will raise you up from rock bottom.
Yeah, but, you know, don't forget, Rob, there's a lot of good chapters that have been written, too. And sometimes that one bad chapter makes us forget all the good ones, you know? So we were talking before the show about, hey, we all played college sports. That was one chapter. And when you're in college, you're thinking about...
Was it a good one or a bad one for you, Doug? Like, what was your batting average in college?
You know, it's a matter of getting on base. Sometimes you sacrifice, move the runner along. Sometimes you just got to be a team player.
Team player, bro. Team player.
Sometimes you just got to move the guy, you know?
It's all about on-base percentage, right? It's about, we need to crank up that air or something in here. It's killing me.
You're on fire. Hey, listen, we're Division III athletes, right? Yeah. It's not like Kyle here who is,
hey, we could have been Division I, but we chose education over...
Hey, my underwater basket weaving class was really hard. My bowling class was really tough at Tennessee.
We all couldn't have set the table for Peyton Manning at Tennessee. Peyton went to Tennessee because Kyle Horner went to Tennessee first.
But you know, we get done that chapter, and it's crushing. It's their last game. Now, I thought my last game was bad, but Kyle, man, the way you went out was awful, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I blew out my shoulder my last game, and it wasn't the last game of the season. It was halfway through my senior year, and had a lot of aspirations and a lot of opportunity to go beyond my college career into a pro career, and that kind of changed the trajectory of my life. But to be honest, it actually was one of those moments that changed everything inside of me. It made me come. I had a wrestling put with God, it made me really come to understand who He was, who I was, and what He had called me to. It's one of those battles where you have to recognize His will versus your will. And for me, 31 years later now, last year was our 30th year, kind of signing class for University of Tennessee. I think one of the things we have to recognize is about seasons. Mm-hmm. Life goes in seasons. You know, Genesis 8:22 says until the end of time, you know, harvest and seed time, winter and summer, seasons will always happen. And I think sometimes we look at the season that we're in and think it's the final season. This is the way it's always going to be. I'm always going to feel this way. I'm always going to be struggling with this. I'm always going to be going through these moments. And look, a tree in the middle of winter has no fruit, but a tree in the middle of winter is growing deep roots. And I think sometimes we always look at, hey, there's some barren times in my life. Yeah, but those times are there a lot of times to dig some deep roots in us. And that's the recognition that we have to go through in the midst of a season. Every season has a purpose, and we have to learn how to embrace that season. And that's not always easy. But we can't allow our season to define us.
How do you go through? Because when you get through a season, then you look back and then you appreciate it.
Yeah.
You appreciate the hard times because you've gotten through it. And sometimes when you're in the season, you can't see past it because it's so overwhelming. So you think about feeling like you're going to drown or you're feeling like you're suffocating at that point and just can't see the end because, you know, it's a couple days, but it feels like weeks. It feels like months, especially in a tragic situation.
Yes.
Where somebody's really suffering. But that's where the wisdom comes in, too. Having gone through those trials and tribulations, you come out of it, and then you're able to endure even more through the ups and downs, the waves of life.
Absolutely. I think there's a couple things in that. What I would say, Doug, is one, we have to learn that the purpose of our circumstance can't be defined by the circumstance. It really is about knowing who God is, continue to trust Him, and even when we don't see the result, make sure that we understand that He is still in control. You know, there's this amazing moment when Jesus feeds the 5,000, and there's 12 baskets left over. And then immediately the Bible says he sent the disciples out on the boat, right? Out on the boat. And inside that boat was the 12 baskets that were left over. And they get in the middle of this amazing storm. The storm is going crazy. They think they're going to die. All the while, the miracle of the 5,000 is sitting right there in front of them. And when Jesus actually walks on the water, we know the story with Peter. It's really cool that Peter walks out on the water with him. But when Jesus gets in the boat, he actually reprimands them for their lack of faith because he said, did you not learn anything from that last season I brought you through? And a lot of times we forget. You know, our past miracles should actually increase our future faith.
And we look at these bad chapters, these bad seasons, these bad things that happen in our life. And if we get through them and we have the right perspective and we lean on, we trust in the Lord, we lean not on our own understanding, as it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, it will set up those great seasons. It will set up those good chapters for us. It will lead to a better ending of our story. But we have to be careful and make sure that we don't just drown in that negativity and feel like, as you were saying earlier, that this is it. This is the end of our story. We're done here and I can't get out of it, because that's when you turn to a lot of things that will make it worse for you. That's when you could turn to addictions and to drugs and the alcohol.
Well,
we self-soothe, Rob,
and that's the issue. When we self-soothe ourselves through whatever means, shopping, overeating, like you said, drugs, alcohol, pornography, there's 1,000 ways to self-soothe.
Sure.
Any part of self-soothing is trusting in ourselves and trusting in something else more than we're trusting in God to be the comforter. He is our comforter. He gives peace that passes all understanding when we push in just a little bit deeper to Him. So it's not about God changing our circumstance that proves that He's God. It's God changing us in the midst of our circumstance.
Let's go back to last week, though, because we had Levi Lusco on, pastor from
Fresh Life Church in Montana. Wyoming and Utah and Canada and everywhere else Pastor
Levi podcasts are all over the place now.
Yeah.
So you can pick up all podcasts, including Faith on the Field show. You could listen to that anytime.
Absolutely.
Right? So shameless plug. But you know, his big thing, having gone through a trial of losing his daughter, was it's not that the circumstance changed. It's your perception of what's going on.
Yep.
And he talks about the lens of a lion and how you see things. And so when you're going through those circumstances, you just see things in a different light. One thing that my family and I went through when we lost Luke was that my wife always said, I went through life just looking that everything would be okay.
Yes.
Right? And you almost expect just comfort, peace, and safety. And she goes, now I kind of expect pain to happen.
Well,
right, you know, we don't go through life trying not to experience
correct.
The pain. You almost expect the pain to happen.
Well,
and I think that's
pain's
what
not always
over
a bad thing, right?
It's not. No.
I mean, like, when I'm sick, when I'm hurting, when something inside of me is, I had a hernia a little while ago, and it really hurt. There was a lot of pain there because there was something inside of me that needed to be fixed. And you know, God is a refiner of fire. There's a lot of times that there's pain that we go through in order to push in an area. You know, I love getting massages. I don't think that I'm hurting, right? And then the masseuse starts to push on areas and you're like, ah, because you didn't even know until there was some pressure placed on there that there was pain.
Does that go with Rob's pedicures?
I've never done a manicure or pedicure,
and I've only had one massage. He might be
I think you mentioned that.
I'm absolutely shocked that happened.
Okay. So
yeah.
I would never repeat that, but that's
yeah,
all right.
I've never been through that.
You know,
so.
You said something that's interesting. You know, when we talk about David, you know, we all know the victory of David with Goliath, which is a great moment. And he, right after that, his boss tries to kill him. multiple times, tries to kill him, and then chases him through the wilderness and until he finds a place. He's in a cave, and 400 guys that are just down and out come to be with him there. He was designed for the throne room, but he finds himself in this cave.
Yeah.
But he didn't allow the cave to define him. He let the cave refine him. And that's that moment where, because he allowed the cave to refine him, he refined the other men that were there, and they become mighty warriors. They actually become the men that changed the nation. And I think sometimes those are the things. We have to be careful what we say. You know, Proverbs 18 says there's life and death are in the tongue. You know, what are we saying to ourselves and about ourselves in the midst of our circumstance? And are we allowing those things that we've gone through to define us? I'm an addict. I'm abused. I'm no good. I'm not valuable. I'm a failure. And those things play over and over and over again in our head, and they undermine the truth of what God says about who we are.
Well, a lot of times you mentioned Joseph, and you're bringing up David, right? And
yeah.
So we look at these biblical heroes, and sometimes we think that we would do something different. Right, but we look at them and they're going through these trials. They're in jail. They're in a cave. Right, and
yep.
So we look at all their glory, but they went through really hard times. And you think about the disciples following Jesus. We think, man, if I was with Jesus, I would totally act different. Like I would be right there. And I think that's a great point that you brought up earlier. I just want to circle back to it because, you know, they just forget
yeah.
that he just fed 5,000 people.
Yeah,
all the food's still in the boat, and they're like, "Whoa, this is great." But how soon do we forget everything? You know, we talk about all these bad times, but we forget all the good times. We forget about all the miracles.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a perspective that we need to have, is that Jesus has been there in the good times, and Jesus is there in the bad time. I guess that's the challenge, right?
I will say this: when you wake up, before you ask God for anything, thank him for everything. Before you say, hey, I need this, I need that, I want that, you know, I need safety here, traveling, I need this here, can you, you know, help me out, I need to pay bills. First of all, thank him for the fact that you woke up. Thank him for the fact that you have a roof over your head, or thank him for everything that those little tiny
yeah.
things that
yeah.
we all take for granted. Yeah. And a lot of times you'll always hear people say, oh, you know, I can't believe why did this person get into an accident, or why did this happen? How about that time you could have been involved in that accident, but it didn't happen. You swerved at the last second, or you're sitting in traffic. Why are you sitting in traffic? And you're like, oh man, I hate this, I'm sitting in traffic. Have you ever heard somebody be like, there better be a fatality on this road to justify, can you imagine saying, there's somebody better be dead for me to, that's horrible to say that, but maybe God delayed that so you weren't
yeah.
involved in
that's
that.
Like post situation happening. Do you ever get in a car, like you guys are making a road trip, you guys are going somewhere with the kids, you and Remy, and you're praying for safety?
We pray for a ton of things.
Yeah.
A ton of
but
things.
But maybe you can give some perspective on this. I have a hard time praying for safety now. Like, as I think about it, like, it's almost like, God, bless this trip and give us safety. Don't allow any accidents to occur. So what happens if an accident does occur? Did he not answer my prayer? You know, like, why do I need to pray for safety when God potentially has a flat tire or an accident that's completely writing a new chapter and I'm asking for it not to happen? Not with the forethought that God potentially could work out a miracle, or for us to be there in a situation, or
yeah.
just change the day that we have planned, because I don't want to be inconvenienced. Get us there safe and allow us to have a great day, enjoy the weather, and have a really fun time. God, that's what we would like for today.
God
please.
So
if
wants
you could,
to be, he wants,
if you could deliver that for us, that'd be
he
great.
He wants to be involved in
right?
every area and every aspect of your life, and nothing is too small and nothing is too big for him. So I don't
I'm not
see,
saying that, but
I don't see why there's a problem with it.
I don't know. I just have a hard time.
I think the tension that we live in is the tension of the garden. And I think this is where we have to come back to everything, is that Jesus said, here's my will, God.
Mm-hmm.
Father, here's my will. This is what it looks like. This is what I know. But in all things, I will submit to your will. And that's easily said, but it really does. It's a matter of our heart.
But I got to think about it that way.
Yeah.
So, hey, God, if it's your will, get us there safely.
But,
not, allow me to accept whatever
yeah,
you
no,
have
and that's
for
what
me
I said.
Too,
like, I don't think we have to be void of asking. I just think we have to actively accept submission. So I think that's the tension that we live in. We say, no, God wants to have a relationship with us. So there's an asking part of this, but there's also a submission to the will of the King when it happens.
I just think if you read your book first, and then the movie came out, you'd be like, I don't want that chapter. I don't
oh,
want this
totally.
Chapter. I don't want
Absolutely.
This chapter. You try and rewrite the book.
You're
going to
try and fast
you, right?
forward so, through it. Yeah.
That's always why people say, I wish God would write it on the wall. And I said, no, you don't, because the last time you did that, everybody died, right? Now, you know, that's like, that's not good. I don't want to run. There's no faith in that, buddy. There's no faith, Doug, in if we know everything ahead of time. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. As Pastor Levi said last week when he was talking about the passing of his daughter, 5-year-old daughter, Lenya, when he said, if I knew why, it doesn't change the fact all it means is I have an answer for what happened, and if that it doesn't, it's not going to bring her back. You just have an explanation for it. I love this quote, and I heard it in a sermon sometime last week. You can ask God to change your situation all you want, but until you ask Him to change you, He can't change your situation. And that's where the prayer is. You ask Him to help you accept whatever it is that you're going through, good or bad. You ask Him to help to give you the wisdom, the courage, the knowledge, whatever you need to get through that bad chapter of your life. Because if you can get through that negativity, you can get through that. There's going to be a glorious ending.
When we talk about the desires of the heart, it doesn't mean that God gives you everything you want. He just changes your desires, right?
Without a shadow of a doubt. I think too, and I'll go back to something Doug you said earlier, is that it's not always a bad chapter. I think Elijah wins this great battle on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. God shows up in a mighty way in his life, and the very next moment, what we see is he's still insecure. He meets this scenario where you would think this mighty man of faith would rise up, and it just touches where Jezebel threatens who he is, and it threatens his insecurity inside of him, and he runs into a cave. So, I mean, there's all sorts of times. It really does get back to, do we know who we are and whose we are, and do we trust that he will work all things together for the good, even when it doesn't seem good to us? So often we say, I'll trust God. I know he's going to work everything out for good. And we try to define what good looks like. And yet God's picture of good is so much bigger than our small, mundane picture.
Well, because sometimes good is painful.
Absolutely.
Oh, good can hurt. Good can really hurt.
And, absolutely.
And, you know, it's as he said last week, Pastor Levi, it's an incredible honor to be crushed by pain, because the anointing of the blessing is going to be that much greater, because God knows you can handle it.
Well, how many people follow Jesus in the Bible? I mean, they all got crucified.
12.
They all got persecuted. They all got killed, right?
I mean, every one of them.
When Paul says, I've been shipwrecked, I spent a night and a day in the open sea, I've been stoned, that's not the kind at Woodstock. He's been whipped, he's been beaten, he's been hit. I mean, like, he's been in jail. When he says all that, like, that was, and yet he's still what we would consider one of the examples of someone who walked closely in the Spirit of God. So walking with Jesus doesn't change the circumstance. It changes our perspective of the circumstance. So you had said earlier, Rob, about praising God when things aren't yet changed. And getting back to that feeding of the 5,000, Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the Bible says he blessed them. He blessed what wasn't enough before it was enough. And that actually released something in the miracle. I think sometimes we have to be willing to praise God for the apartment we've got before we've got the apartment we want. Praise God for the job we have, rather than, you know, even if it's not the job we want. Yet, you know, there's this, hey, let's praise him for, even if it's 5 loaves and 2 fish, it doesn't seem enough.
There's nothing wrong with wanting more or striving to achieve more, to accomplish more, to have more, but never lose sight of or take for granted the fact that you have enough to get you through each and every day if you would just appreciate the fact that you have it.
Yeah. Well, can you be content in the chapter that you're in, expecting that there's going to be another chapter too?
And in the grand scheme of all of this, and to bring it back to Aaron Nola, a few bad starts, 8 mm-hmm. bad starts in a row, whatever it is, may not seem like much when someone's going through a cancer diagnosis or someone's going through losing a loved one. But for a first round pick, a kid who's on a team and so much expectations are there for him, it's a rough period of time and it could bring him down. So when we come back, we'll hear a little bit from Aaron Nola and his story and how he got through that rough period, that bad chapter of his life. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. what makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hey, this is Rob Motti. Let's talk about tomorrow for a minute. Chances are, someday, you're going to want to retire. And even though you'll stop working, you'll never want to stop achieving. You'll want to explore new ventures when you retire. You'll want to see and experience new things because you'll finally have the time to do it. But to get there, you'll need a financial strategy. Rick Santella at Morgan Stanley can help. Rick is a financial advisor, and he has more than 35 years of experience. Rick can help you create a strategy based on how you want to live now and once you retire. Rick will work with you and your attorney toward your goals like estate planning and leaving a legacy. And the great thing is, Rick is right here in Philadelphia. To make an appointment with Rick Santella, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meet with Rick today to talk about your future, because when you stop working, your retirement income is going to have to work for you.
Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, its affiliates, and Morgan Stanley Financial Advisors do not provide tax or legal advice. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney LLC, member SIPC.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Lynnwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs. Asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use a bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Lynnwood office.
Back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. 610 Sports, ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. Guys, I want to highlight a couple, as we're on Facebook Live, a couple people who have checked in and said a few things, including Pastor Kyle's wife, Danielle, with, this is a tremendous quote. Is this from Danielle or is this from, do you know?
It's from a book from Alicia Britt Cole that we're studying. Brilliant. She's just brilliant.
And I'm glad she posted it. And it says, pain increases our overall sensitivity and grants us the opportunity to hear smaller sounds like our own heartbeats and the soft splashes of God's tears. Okay, from The Sacred Slow, right? That's what it's from?
Yeah, it's a great new book by Alicia Britt Cole.
That's awesome. Great, thank you.
The last part
so
of
the
it.
Question is, what do we really want to hear?
What do we really want to hear?
That's deep. That's a deep question.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a whole topic for another show.
Absolutely.
All in and of itself. And
stay tuned for October and November, right?
Diane Check. Do you know Diane Check?
Just through Facebook. So she's an Eastern fan.
And she says one of her bad chapters, and this is about as rough as you can get, too, is going through breast cancer. But it brought her closer to the Lord than ever before. And she says, he has used me mightily in my life and sharing with others. So, yes, one chapter was difficult, but thankfully God continues my story. And that's pretty cool. That's awesome that you can have that perspective, because that's what he's trying to do. You use that, you take that bad chapter, and you can accumulate three or four bad chapters, but those good ones are going to far outweigh the negative ones at the end. And
you appreciate them more, too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because how many times when you have something terrible happen to you, but then you start to appreciate the little things?
Yeah.
You start to look and notice, and you start looking around. Hey, it's like going through a snowstorm, and then the first day you see sun, you're like, oh, wow, I missed that sun.
Absolutely.
It's so awesome to see that sun back out.
You know, we're talking about good things, though. Like, I think kids help you realize that, because you miss one day with the kids and all of a sudden you just want to get right back there and you appreciate them even more. So it's
yeah. Well, so I mean, and then they're driving you crazy and then they want to play and you're like, they want to do this
miss them
and
a little
you got
while?
Them. Yeah. So but you're right. Absolutely. And Phillies ace Aaron Nola, we talked about him a couple weeks ago when we had Newsboys drummer Duncan Phillips on the show, and Aaron uses I Am Second as his walk-up song, which is one of my favorite Christian songs, and it's awesome. Aaron was a first-round pick by the Phillies in 2014 out of LSU, and he broke into the majors the very next year, in 2015, and pitched really well in 13 starts, so expectations for him were really high. And the beginning of 2016 season, he pitched so well in April, May, and June, it seemed like he was on his way to the All-Star game. And then he absolutely imploded. He had an 8-game stretch where he was 1-5 with a 9.82 ERA. Now, Doug, you know how bad a 9.82 ERA is over an 8-game stretch. That's when everybody's questioning, is he hurt? What is wrong with him? Is he not that good?
I might even have been able to hit him in college, right? Yeah. I might have even gotten a little.
Yeah, you might have.
I might
have. So. That was just a chapter in Aaron's career, and he goes into the offseason, he rehabs his elbow, and he comes back this season. He goes 12-11, leads the team in wins, has a 3.54 ERA. He's the most consistent pitcher on the Phillies. He's become a legitimate staff ace, and it was a complete major turnaround for Aaron, who is really, you know, I talked to him last year when I was writing Baseball Faith, and he's a really quiet, introverted kind of guy, and for that book and for Football Faith, I asked different players what their favorite Bible verse was. And Aaron's favorite Bible verse was Proverbs 20:24, which is, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? So I asked him about that verse and more. So here is that interview with Aaron Nola, brought to you by Dan Higgins Wood Flooring.
Aaron, welcome to Faith on the Field show. Tell me about Proverbs 20:24, what that means to you.
It means a lot. I've had some struggles in my life and in my baseball career, especially last year in 2016. Looking back at it now, I kind of laugh. And I think the more I look back at it, that verse really hits me harder and makes me understand it more. You know, having a bad game last year, you know, you'd be down. And having another bad game after another bad game after another bad game, it's kind of like, what do I do, you know? And then that's when I kind of started really looking into that verse. You know, why try to make things right by myself? Because it's not going to work. You know, trust God's way of Him making things right. And like you said, it's a scene of struggle. It's not going to define who you are. And, you know, pitching a bad game, two bad games, three bad games in a row, whatever, it's not going to define your season. You know, you can always bounce back from it by trusting in Him, by trusting in His word. And looking this year, when I did have a bad game or two in a row, three in a row, you know, I just stuck with, you know, my plan. Now, don't try to just throw those games away. Don't look back at those games. Know who I am. Know what I can do, what I can't do. And just stick with that. And, you know, let God create the path for me. And, you know, he's creating a path for me, and He creates a path for everybody. And I think just trusting in that and not trying to overthink things is, you know, the key to it.
Yeah, we talk about seasons. Things don't define you. It's one bad moment in your life, but it's not the full chapter of your story. There was some doubt for you last offseason because you were coming off the injury, and then you go to spring training, and you started to feel better, and you started off well and kept building momentum there. How much were you able to rely on your faith through those moments of doubt?
Yeah, I mean, you always doubt yourself at one point, you know. I mean, and to look at it as a whole, baseball, I'm not going to play baseball for my whole life. You know, there's other things that I'm going to do besides baseball. Baseball is just temporary. You know, obviously I want to play it for as long as I can. But there's going to be other things I want to do. So having said that, going and pitching and having momentum to going into the year and pitching a good game and pitching good, I wanted to stick with that and just like try to stick with my plan and really trust in God and trust that He's going to make this year. Looking at the beginning of the year, He's going to make this year good for me. So that's kind of what I did. You know, good or bad, whatever. I just want to learn about myself more, about the game more, and about Him more.
How much does it help to have guys around you who can strengthen you, who can, you know, we say iron sharpens iron a lot, to have a team filled with guys who are in chapel and in Bible study and doing those things? How much does that really help you along throughout your journey?
It helps because it helps you to know those guys better, know where their head's at and their mind is at, and it also gives you people to go to when times are hard. And so you can relate better to them, each other. So I think having chapel on the road and all, and at home is, you know, awesome, you know, because we're on the road a lot. We get back late at night on Sundays. You know, we got some guys that are Catholics in here, and we can't really go to church, so we don't have the time. So chapel is really good, and they have the mass over here on Saturdays for both teams, and I think that's really good. So I think having guys on the team that go to that, it helps us connect better.
You've developed, obviously, into the ace of this staff, and that means a lot more attention. The spotlight's going to be on you. People are going to demand more of your time. It's kind of going to be a different off season than last year, where you were coming off being injured and there were some question marks. Now you are the guy. How do you make sure that you don't get caught up in all of that stuff and keep yourself focused on what's most important, your relationship with Christ and what you're doing on the field?
Just trust in Him. Don't try to put any pressure on myself. You know, people are going to put pressure on you, but it's my job not to let that get in my head. You know, that's what Satan wants, you know. That's he wants you to, you know, crumble under the pressure. So why put the pressure on yourself when you can trust in God and go out there and focus on your job and, you know, the outcome's His.
What do you say to young kids who look up to you as a role model and want to be the next Aaron Nola, want to be the ace of a team staff? What do you say to them about just getting in the Word and focusing on, you told me before in the past that all the answers to life are in the Bible. You've said that to me. How do you convey that message to other people?
Yeah, first I tell them, you know, do good in school and say I love you to your mom and dad. And then, tell them all the answers are in the Bible. You know, trust in the Lord. When I was their age, you know, I didn't exactly know what it meant to what I do now, and I'm still learning about it. And I think it's a lifelong thing, and I don't think anybody's going to go and pick the Bible up and, you know, say, oh, man, I got all the answers, and I understand everything. I don't think it works like that. I think you're going to experience things in life and that are going to relate to the Bible, and you're like, wow, you know, that was in the Bible, and now I understand it. So I kind of tell them that, you know, you're not gonna understand things right now. You're not gonna be a pro baseball player right now. It's gonna take time, and you're gonna grow as a person. You're gonna grow as a baseball player. So just, you know, trust in God's timing.
Aaron, appreciate your time, and we wish you a ton of success next year, and have a great off season.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
And that was Phillies ace Aaron Nola, and that was brought to you by Dan Higgins Wood Flooring. And Aaron had a lot of things to say in there, powerful, powerful stuff in there. One of my favorites, it was toward the end of the interview, where we're talking about the pressure and the spotlight, and he says, well, you got to trust in God and don't put pressure on yourself, because that's what Satan wants, and he wants you to crumble under pressure. So we can get into that a little bit. But let's start off with what he said, which really sticks to the theme that we're talking about tonight, that it's just a bad chapter. It's just one chapter of your life story. And he said, pitching a few bad games isn't going to define your season. You can always bounce back. And that's the proper perspective to have. But there's so many guys I see in baseball where they can crumble when they go through three or four bad starts, and they have the expectations that are placed upon a guy like who's a first round pick like Aaron Nola, and the team is struggling, and the Phillies really need, they don't, they had Cole Hamels, they had Roy Halladay, they had Roy Oswalt, they had Cliff Lee, they had all these guys, and now they're trying, they're rebuilding, they're going through bad moments, they're going through a rough season or two or three or four, and they're trying to put together an identity, and they're trying to assemble a pitching staff and find somebody who could lead that staff, and Aaron didn't let that bad stretch, that eight-game stretch where he had a 982 ERA, let him crumble. He bounced back from that. He came back, and for him, it was his faith, and it was his trust in the Lord that really helped him, that really guided him through that tough period.
So that's a part of it. So you've been covering Major League Baseball for years. So do you think that to still stay in the majors, even with the lack of success, will only make him that much better as a pitcher in the future, as opposed to coming up, lighting the world on fire, you know, having a 2.5 ERA and doing really well? Do you think this will make him a better pitcher? Because he has the ability. Do you think this will make him a better pitcher in the future?
Yeah, I think, because now he knows how to handle adversity.
I think that's the key. I think that's the key.
If you come up and you have success, continued success, continued success, and then you struggle at some point, it's going to be rough. You're not going to know how to handle it, and it's better for him to learn how to handle adversity now when the team isn't that good than it would be for him when the team is really contending, and now all of a sudden you got your ace and he struggles.
It's the same thing that happened with the Phillies earlier. They had some failures in the beginning, and then they grew as a team. So do you see this team, as you cover this whole team, the Phillies, for the entire year, do you think that you see the nucleus here that can grow together and potentially be a successful team, and because of this adversity, only become better in the future?
Yeah, I think they've really gotten through the roughest period of that rebuilding process for them, and now you see light at the end of the tunnel. Now you see hope. That was what I wrote today in my season wrap-up, that there's reason for optimism for 2018.
Where can you find that, Rob?
Because you get these young guys who came up.
Shameless plug.
You get all the, go on Facebook and you can just follow my stuff there, or go on Twitter. You know what? We never give out our Twitter handles. I'm at Rob Maddy, M-A-A-D-D-I. You are at
Horton House 5.
Pastor Kyle?
I'm at Kyle J. Horner.
At Kyle J. Horner. And of course, they can follow Faith on the Field Show. That's at Faith on the Field. Or Faith on the Field Show.
Faith on the Field.
It's at Faith on the Field. Yeah. We couldn't fit all
the
those
show
characters
didn't fit in Twitter.
In there.
Yeah,
well, maybe now that Twitter's going to be
check it Twitter. Out I mean, on Instagram, it's Faith on the Field Show.
It's confusing. Just put them both in there. Find us. We're there.
We're still working on our social media.
Because you just said something that's brilliant. I actually think that what you just said is true, even with the Eagles this year. You know, I know
true.
Coach Peterson was saying, "Hey, some of these close games we won the one last year because we learned through the adversity." Let me ask you this question.
Well, how about the Sixers and the Flyers too? I think it fits for them too, right?
Absolutely.
That's where
fits.
We're going, right?
I'm believing it's going to fit for the Sixers. The adversity.
They've had a whole lot of adversity.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because we believe that in sports, but do we believe that in our life?
And that's interesting because we should believe that in our life.
Right.
Because it's those tough moments in life that prepare us, that make us tougher.
So you just said, and I agree with you, I think your wrap-up is right on. The adversity that the Phillies have gone through over this year, the young guys maturing, what we saw last year with the Eagles, with the Sixers, the Flyers are coming together as a team through the adversity. None of us like the adversity, but there is a maturity. There's a maturing process that goes on in times of adversity. So just like a good coach, that's how our God sees our life. So that's why when we think God's punishing us through these times of adversity, maybe if we took a step back, maybe it's not so much punishment as it really is promotion.
So it's one of those things where it's a good loss.
It's a maturity.
Sometimes it's good to have that loss just to kind of ground you, give you some more perspective.
Yeah, I definitely learned more in my losses in life than I on the field and off the field than I ever did in my victories.
God's trying to teach you how to win.
Yeah,
sometimes
we lost.
He's trying to teach you how to win.
That's what we did when I played in college. We were awful. Like we were like 1-13 at one point. And I remember our close baseball game. The umpire turned around and said, "Hey, man, that game's going to build character for you guys." And one of our guys turned around and said, "Hey, we got plenty of character. We just need a couple wins." You know, it was one of those things where, you know, hey, we learned enough already.
Yeah.
No, I had the opposite experience in high school. We had a 33-game winning streak.
Are you in the Hall of Fame in New Jersey? You're kind of big time, aren't you?
My dad's in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame. Yeah, my dad is definitely in the Hall of Fame. And he deserves to be. But, you know, we lost 7-6 to Brick. Extra point went off of the right upright. Not that I remember at all or still bitter at all. But I legitimately, I think we trained harder in the offseason. Mm-hmm. We had a different perspective. I think we had just assumed that we were going to win. Mm-hmm. And then you change perspective. And I think that's, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Rob, that's why, you know, what's going on with Aaron Nola is so important in sports. So much is momentum. So much is, you know, we call it from the quarterback's position, you know, it's 90% swag, 10% ability. It really is. Like, it's all about the mental state of a quarterback. Yeah. And then the mental state of a pitcher, an athlete. So when
believing you can make that throw at the end of the game, right?
Absolutely. It's not even just believing it. It's knowing. You know, I remember hearing Joe Montana say when he made that great throw to Dwight Clark in the mm-hmm. back of the end zone to beat the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. They said to him, you know, oh, that's such a great throw. How did you make that throw? And he said, I made that throw 1,000 times in my backyard growing up before that moment. He had already done that 1,000 times. So,
And what Aaron said in there, too, is that pitching a few bad games obviously isn't going to define his season, but he's going to learn something. He's going to take something out, and it's just like us. You take something out from those little losses. You learn there's something in there. There's always, well, maybe my curveball was working that night, or maybe for certain hitters, I got to go down and away, and I got to go inside on this guy. So you learn a little bit from each one, and he says, I'm not going to play baseball my whole life. It's just temporary. Trust God's plan. Good or bad, I want to learn about myself more, I want to learn about the game more, and I want to learn about him more. And for somebody to be 20, I told him afterwards, and we sat there and probably talked for another mm-hmm. 20 minutes off the microphone, I was like, dude, to be 24 and to get it, you know, and to look at Carson Wentz and all these other guys, to be that young and to get it, I didn't get it at 34.
Yeah.
You know?
You forget they're that young, don't you?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible.
They really are.
They are, yeah.
And he's surrounded by, which is really cool, because we talk about the Phillies and their rebuilding process and the tough times they went through. But when you see a guy like him and they're surrounded, we know Jared Eichhoff, we had him out at and he went through a really rough season of his life this year. But I spoke to him on his way out and made sure he's got that right perspective to go into the offseason. He's ready to come back. And there's a lot of those guys who they attend chapel together, as Aaron was saying. They have Bible studies together. And that really helps you because, you know, the world's going to look at it and go, oh, yeah, I don't care what you do as long as you pitch well. But that's helping him pitch well. That's helping him navigate the tough moments, the storms of his season because of all of that stuff that he's doing and his relationship with Christ. He says, why try to make things right by myself? Because it's going to work. Trust God's way. Mm. Because he can't. You can't. If we rely on us, we're going to fail ourselves.
Absolutely.
And you guys know that. Anytime we try and figure out whatever's going through our lives, or anytime we try and deviate from God's plan and take it our own way, well, that's when like all hell breaks loose.
Debacle.
That's when life is going to just go down.
S. Jonah, that didn't really work out for him.
it definitely didn't work out for him. A few other things that Aaron talked about in there. And I love what I said to him about his answer, I mean, to the question that I said, what do you say to kids and the Bible? Because he had said to me last year, like, all the answers are in the Bible. And he says, first thing I tell them is do good in school and say I love you to your mom and dad.
Yeah, brilliant. Hey.
I mean, you can't go wrong there. If you're a kid, hey, Aaron Nola says, say I love you to your mom and dad. But as we were talking about the Bible, I said, hey, man, what kind of Bible do you have? Because it is so difficult to understand the Bible on your own. It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. And the number one greatest gift I've ever received in my life, and I'll say it numerous times, is 2012 Christmas. I never, ever, ever ask for anything. Even when I was a kid, my mom says, you never ask for anything. And, you know, as I grew up, I get myself everything. So I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's people are going to say, hey, it's Christmas, family, immediate family. What do you want? And my brother's like, what do you want this year? I was like, dude, you know, whatever. I was like, you know what? Give me a Bible I can understand. Get me a Bible I can understand. And he gets me this NLT version, and it's the study guide. So first of all, NLT, it's written in a way where you're going to understand it in 2012
new
or 2017.
New Living Translation.
You're going to understand it. But the important stuff is they take certain parts out of scripture and they explain to you at the bottom, and that really helps. And I try and emphasize that to people. If you're reading the Bible and trying to interpret it on your own, or even we all read the Bible on our Bible apps, right? And we're on the YouVersion, and we can follow the Eagles have a plan there, and Carson's
really cool.
got a plan.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's
and they explain it. But even in that, you know, you need to get an explanation at times, and that's so helpful.
It's why a community of faith is essential. Mm-hmm. For growing up.
And a teacher.
And that's absolutely
even,
right.
Understanding things from a cultural standpoint.
Without a doubt.
And that's where I think, you know, you come in great, Pastor Phil comes in great, all these, and that's one reason why we have pastors on the show, right? Because Rob, we don't understand this, right? We kind of go back and forth
Speak
and we
for
talk
yourself,
about sports
Doug.
A little bit. I mean, we're working on it, but like, we don't compare, right? But when you're talking about the
it's
cultural.
It's pretty good to have Pastor Kyle throw out 23 verses in about 2 seconds that back up certain things that we're saying as we're going, like,
but,
my head's spinning. I'm going,
you need to understand that.
I think what Aaron said is absolutely essential because, and this is one of the things that I'd say. I saw Carson tweeted today about our world needing Jesus after the tragedy. And before we go any further, please join everyone in prayer for those who have undergone the tragedy in Vegas. It should break our hearts. But I heard someone say on his Twitter, "Hey, you know, just stick to football."
Oh,
and I come back to this. Back to this point though, where I say, you know, we should be so glad that our athletes are absolutely in the Word of God, because your mental state affects so much of who you are and how you prepare for life and how you handle struggle and trials and tribulations in life. And when these guys are able to allow their worldview to be founded on something bigger than themselves and be able to understand who they are in light of a big picture, understand the circumstance and situation in light of a bigger picture than just, I didn't strike that guy out, or I threw an interception, or I fumbled the ball, or I scored a touchdown. It gives them a platform to understand life from a different perspective.
Absolutely.
And I think it's essential that we have that. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God takes it out of our hands, and it's a lamp unto my feet. It helps me see who I am. It's a light unto my path. It helps me actually see how to move forward in life. From an eternal perspective, not just a temporal perspective.
Well, Rob gets all fired up about this. And Rob, I'm was
trying
just,
really hard
I know
to calm
you are,
down.
But
right now.
You did a great job. And when we were headed towards our event at Eastern University with Carson and Trey and Steph Wisniewski, you went on a couple radio shows in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And they always got you fired up because they were saying very similar things, right? Hey, just throw touchdowns. We don't want you to, give us the word at all. And you said it great. And they actually talked about it. I was listening in the car, I was driving to work. Mm-hmm. And after the interview, they continued with it. They're like, you know what? Why wouldn't we want somebody that's grounded like that? They're going to be a better teammate. They're going to be a better leader. They're going to handle adversity.
Oh, they
better.
Learned
they're,
something and repeated
so
it afterwards?
I think they did. I think they, I think
I
you got
as
them.
Soon as
so
I
know you probably went back to bed, right?
Yeah.
It was like 9:30.
Oh,
it was
I'm
early
playing.
For you.
I didn't
so
know they did that. That's cool.
No, it was good. But why wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you want that?
Well,
really
you know what? All right. So I wasn't going to bring it up. But I got this sent to me. I got this sent to me because people know my feelings about it. And here, first of all, let me tell you. So Carson Wentz puts it out there today. So much hate and evil. So sad. The world needs Jesus in a bad way. Praying for all those affected in Vegas. And if you disagree with that, that's fine. That's on you. I 100% agree that the world needs Jesus. So then it becomes clickbait for media to now write a story about the reaction to Carson Wentz's comments. Because now, Carson Wentz, here we go. Let's see what the headline is on this one particular. Carson Wentz gets mixed reaction for his response to Las Vegas shooting. And now we're going to get clicks because people are going to watch. People are going to click on this and see, and it's going to justify us charging this, or it's going to justify that, and the commercials and here and there. And then you got people who are saying things like, maybe Jesus or God should show up before 50 people die and 400 get injured. Just shut up.
Well, here's the thing, right? We posed this question to Carson.
Whoever said that, you know what? You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University. We'll be right back.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness Experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Hey guys, it's Rob Motti. I want to tell you about a can't-miss event that's coming up in a few months. I did it last fall. It's called Goliathon, and it's a Ninja Warrior-type obstacle run that's tiered for all skill levels, which means you can run the event as a family or as a group of friends, even if you're at different fitness levels. The course is about 4 miles long with 12 tiered obstacles that are unique, challenging, and a load of fun. And the best part is, all proceeds fund clean water projects in developing countries. The next Goliathon event is October 21st in Mullica Hill, New Jersey. Entry price increases are coming soon, so sign up today. Go to goliathon.com for details. And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And I took the 2 or 3 minutes or 4 minutes in between commercials to kind of calm down because all the negative criticism that athletes like Carson Wentz get for invoking their faith into something. All I can say is this. I feel genuinely sad for people who criticize an athlete or an entertainer or even someone on my level, I don't know, whatever you want to categorize me, and I get criticism for it. I feel genuinely sad for people who criticize us for having faith. And as Carson said so eloquently when we had the event with at Eastern University, he said, I can handle a couple negative tweets if Jesus got murdered for what he did. And Jesus said it best.
He just laughed at it.
They hated me first. Jesus said they hated me for they stoned and it massacred and murdered Christians back in that time, and they obviously put Jesus up on a cross. So guys, we are in, as I said earlier in the show, week 25 of the Faith on the Field show, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes. You can subscribe to Faith on the Field show, download, listen at your convenience. We've talked to Clayton Kershaw, we've had Carson Wentz, Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Swinney. We've had the best rookie quarterback in the NFL
Not a bad game yesterday.
Watson, five touchdowns TDs yesterday. He is the real deal, and we could have told you that in week 3 or 4 of Faith on a Field show when he was on, right?
He was destined
for greatness. We've had so many other awesome guests.
He has been on Faith on the Field show.
That set him up for success.
You guys are welcome.
You can also follow us online at faithonthefieldshow.com. You can like our Facebook page. And I do have to thank Eastern University, our big-time sponsor. They are with us again, and what they've done for this show is incredible, and we really appreciate all that they've done. And you know what, Doug? You went there. You teach there. Mm-hmm. I've been there a few times. It is, like the commercials that we have aired in the past say, it is one of the most beautiful campuses in the world, and you do get incredible education there.
Phenomenal little community, and you know, I just want to thank President Duffett and Michael Thomas for making all this happen and just for supporting our show. They're with us until the end of March now as program sponsors.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
So we really appreciate them. Just supporting us.
We'll have another event with them coming up at some point. We just had the Carson Wentz, Trey Burton, Stefan Wisniewski was out there. That was an awesome event, September 6th on a rainy night. Maybe next time we're out there, we can get a little bit better weather.
We'll ask them for sunshine.
Yeah, well, can we pray and ask about that? Is it okay? I mean, if we just
I struggle with that because I was like, hey, God, why would you let it rain? Mm-hmm. But then I turned around and I said, hey, God, maybe you just wanted those 2,000. That's all you wanted there.
And nice and little who you wanted setting. There. Absolutely. So. We got to thank all of our sponsors. Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist, Catalyst Outdoor. If you're driving around the Philly area, there are eight billboards of our mug on there. Don't do a double take. Don't get into an accident. Catalyst Outdoor does a phenomenal job putting all that stuff together. And if you need a billboard for your business, that's who they have to go to, right?
They'll take care of you.
Crystal and Renee. And you know what? They're so good at their job. They didn't even give us a number for us to give people to call. They didn't even say, hey, just promote. No, they just, okay.
Shoot us a message on Facebook. We'll hook you up.
We'll figure out a way to get you in touch with them. We also got to thank Pastor Scott Foreman for all he does for us on our social media. Our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, for putting up with us giving us the time to make sure that we do this show. Producer Ryan Lennox back there. Our business development executive, Julia Livesey, right there. Bree Grignano for helping us out. Pastor Kyle Horner for Doug Horton. I am Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.